God the best shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus. We get to be here. Come on, Faith Promise. Man. Welcome to Faith Promise Church. Gosh, we are so excited to be together today.
We're excited to be together, not just because we're just excited people, but because we're a week out from Easter. Is anybody excited about Easter?
Come on now. It's almost here.
Yes. So no matter where you're joining us from, whether it's online, God Behind Bars, or live at one of our campuses, we just want to say welcome to you this Palm Sunday.
That's exactly right. And listen, Easter is almost here. And listen, I don't know how this happened. Easter is not about chocolate. It's not about eggs or bunnies, which those aren't connected at all, okay? I wasn't doing great in school, but eggs don't, or bunnies don't lay. It's a weird situation how that got. So here's actually something that comes into my mind if I ever try to make Easter about something besides Jesus. And this is the picture comes to mind. And I hope this is what happens to you too, okay? I hope that that face right there that River's making, that's our son, with that mutant bunny, if you or somebody around you tries to make Easter about something besides Jesus, I hope you have that, like, just in your mind. That's your response.
Man, family pictures are great, aren't they? Can I get an amen, moms?
Come on, favorite pictures.
We tried. Man, we don't put bunnies in our pictures anymore. Well, listen, today we really are excited to be together because more than anything, we want to prepare our hearts and our hands and our heads for a week of kingdom work that is ahead before we get to Easter. And we've been in this series about what's in your tomb. And tombs are beliefs that have been bringing death or hindering us from walking in what Jesus died for us to live in. And the words that Jesus spoke over us, literally we've been going over that for the last month, those words are true and they give us power to walk out of the tombs that we've been in.
That's right. So we've walked out of the tomb of unforgiveness, the tomb of what is truth, and the tomb of worldly satisfaction. And I just want to encourage you, if you've missed any of those, go to our YouTube channel, watch those. Maybe you were here for those, but you found yourself back in those tombs of unforgiveness or confused about what truth is. I want to encourage you, go there, watch it in your time with God this week. Be impacted and be sent to win your world. Like Rachel said, today what we want to do is we want to prepare our head. Everybody touch your head. It's going to look like a mockery in here. Your heart, go ahead, touch your heart like the pledge, and your hands, okay? And so we're going to ask God to transform all those parts of our body and our life for a week. Listen, we're not waiting for Easter to come next weekend. We have a week of supernatural work ahead of us, and we are going to celebrate Easter with everything we have leading up to it.
So today we're going to make room for God to bring transformation to our heads, our hearts, in our hands. Yeah. Because transformation is not something you can just will yourself into as much as you might like to work your way into transformation. Transformation is a byproduct of surrender to God. He's the only one who can bring transformation. So here's how we're going to see that happen in our lives today. We're going to spend some time praising God for who he is for salvation. We're going to put our mind in the right position.
Yes.
We're going to spend some time on our hearts as we repent. And then we're going to commission our hands to do the work of God as we take communion.
All right, so we want to jump right in with praise, with worship. And listen, you may wonder, okay, Zach, how is praise, how is worship going to transform my head? How's it going to transform my mind? Well, listen, whenever we actually praise, as we're intended to praise, when we see Jesus correctly, it puts everything else into perspective, okay? And so we're going to do that today. And maybe you don't know, but Rachel mentioned it. Today is actually what's called Palm Sunday, okay? And so the week where Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, it would have been the day that Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. And the reason it's called Palm Sunday is people are laying down palm branches. Some people are taking off their clothes and laying their clothes down as Jesus comes in because they see their Messiah, their Savior, coming in.
So Hosanna means, it's this word of adoration and praise and blessing. But actually, when the word in the Old Testament, in the beginning of the Old Testament, you see this word Hosanna, it actually means like, save me, help me. But if you read in the Psalms, right after you see this word Hosanna, there's a blessing right after it. So the word evolves into Jesus' time, meaning not just save me, but I've been saved. Salvation has come. So it's this word of adoration and declaration of salvation. These people in Jerusalem were laying down their jackets. they were laying down palm branches as a symbol of loyalty to the Messiah.
Yeah.
They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, salvation, salvation has come. Hosanna in the highest, which means all of heaven, come and let's celebrate. Salvation is here. They yeah. are watching Zechariah chapter 9. The prophecy that was written 500 years before be painted right before their eyes. They're overwhelmed that the Savior has come. They literally declare that he's the son of David. They are commissioning him. They're coronating him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
But what about us? Are we overwhelmed with the thought or the sight of our Savior? When's the last time you've laid down palm branches? When's the last time you've laid down, maybe it's not your jacket, but maybe it's your desire for success. Maybe it's how much you care about what other people think about you. Maybe it's that addiction that's creeped into your life. Are we still, listen, Christ follower, are you still overwhelmed at the sight and the sound of your Savior? Or have you gotten used to the fact that Jesus died for your and our sins? Jesus came to Jerusalem. He knew, even though they were laying down their branches today, that they would yell crucify later that week. But he came to lay down his life so that we could have the privilege to not lay down palm branches, but so that we can lay our life down for the salvation that Jesus would provide on the cross as he became our Savior.
Does our soul cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest? Do you lift up the name of the Lord by laying your life down? There's nothing more important. There's nothing of greater value or worth of our time and our affection and our attention than the love of Jesus Christ. So these next few moments, will you worship him? Will you put your mind on heaven? And would you celebrate the fact that salvation has come?
Yeah. And actually, if you just go and stand with us, let's go ahead and stand all together across the state of Tennessee, all together. And hey, Rachel's going to lead us, and we're going to worship together. Hey, maybe it's been so long since you had a tear roll down your cheek in worship and gratitude for our Savior. Maybe you need to start this worship as we sing Hosanna. Maybe you just need to start by saying, Lord, help my heart. Help me to worship you. Help me to feel you like you deserve to be felt. Help me to worship you like you deserve to be worshiped. Don't just say, Hosanna. How many of us worship with our mouth, but our heart is far from him? Can we worship him with the whole of who we are? That we say, Hosanna, and worthy, and adoration, and lay down surrender with every part of our life and who we are. Let's just worship him. Gosh, God is so good. I pray that you can feel how worship transforms our mind, transforms as we see the world through Jesus instead of seeing Jesus through the world. And so we're going to take time not just transform our head, our mind, but our hearts as well. And what a special opportunity it is to bring our hearts to God and to see him transform them.
It's one of the things I'm most grateful for about Jesus. Is that he doesn't leave us in the muck and the mire, but the second we make a decision to follow him, he begins to transform our hearts. I no longer desire the things of the world the way I did. He's transformed my heart to desire the things of the kingdom. So we're gonna come out of the tomb, this belief, we wanna come out of this belief that when we sin, that Jesus is far away from us. So we're gonna come out of that through repentance. Now, for some of us, the word repentance stirs up some religious things. So if you could, for just a second, would you just silence guilt and shame in the name of Jesus? Would we listen to the voice of the Father? And this is what Jesus says about repentance. He says, I tell you, then in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Now you may wonder, why would Jesus celebrate over, why would he rejoice over repentance? Like why? I mean, because we've made repentance such a dirty thing. Why? Well, the reason that Jesus would celebrate over it is because repentance literally means to turn our hearts, to turn our heads, to turn our life away from whatever it is that we have in more important than him and turn it towards him. That's celebratory. That's amazing, right? And you may think, Zach, you don't know what I've done. There's no way Jesus would be happy if I repented. Let me just show it to you how Jesus showed it to me. Let's just put it this way. I'll be Jesus, obviously, and Rachel will be the sinner, obviously, right? And this is what we think. We think as she sins, go ahead and sin, as she sins and she sins and she sins and she sins, she stops and she's like, oh man, I should turn to God. And she turns, and this is what we think happened. We think that God has gotten away. Come here. Come back here, babe. But let's actually look at it, how it actually looks, right? So she sins, right? She sins. She keeps on sinning. She's a sinner, a dirty sinner, right? And then she stops. And she thinks, oh, I'm going to turn to God. And she turns. And he's right here. Listen, where in the world do we get this idea? Amen? Where do we get this idea that we're trying to drag him along? Listen, you never brought him close. Yeah. You just acknowledged that he was close.
Yes.
So that never changed. Just because you became a Christian doesn't mean you start earning something. Never is it that way. He wants you. He wants to be with you.
We find ourselves trapped in this tomb, believing that Jesus is far from us because we've sinned. But we see this tomb for the first time in Genesis. Adam and Eve sin. And God is still in the garden. He's right there longing to be close with the people he created. And Adam and Eve run and hide as if God didn't already know what they had done. For us to think that we have to work our way back to God, it's a lie. But second, it's arrogant. As if we humans who have been broken could ever work our way to a holy, righteous king. The Bible tells us that Jesus made a way for us. Our relationship with God is dependent on him. We would not be so arrogant to believe that our relationship with God depends on us.
That's right. This is such a big tomb for us that we find ourselves in. I know that I find myself in it, right? But let me show you what David said. David in the Bible is known as a man after God's own heart. And he's known after a man after God's own heart. And he wasn't perfect. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He wasn't perfect. But the reason he was called a man after God's own heart is because of his outlook on God. Listen to what he says about his relationship with God. And let me ask you, is this what yours sounds like? He says, where can I go to flee from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Listen, let's go past what our feelings think. Let's go past what religion says. Let's go past all that to what God says. And he says he wants to be with you. He says he is with you. That's what God says. That means it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
So no matter where you are today, why don't you just turn?
Come on.
If we look back on this week in history, what Jesus experienced, it was overwhelming amounts of rejection and betrayal. Judas betrays him. 11 out of the 12 disciples betray him. There's only one disciple at the cross. And all those people who were laying down their palm branches and their jackets, telling him, promising him, King of Kings, I'm going to follow you. I'm with you. I'm committed. Just a few days later, they were shouting, crucify him. Could you imagine that kind of rejection and betrayal?
But Jesus has grace for them, and he has grace for us. While Jesus was on the cross, looking at the people that put him there, which includes you and includes me, this is what Jesus says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. In that statement, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. doesn't just apply to them. It applies to you too. It applies to us. We can take time right now. We will take time right now to repent and to turn our hearts to Him. And He's going to rejoice when He sees you.
So if you say, I'm not really sure what I need to repent of, this is a new concept. I want you to answer a couple of questions I think will help you. Is there something in your life that's taken Jesus' place? It's making decisions for you. It's the viewfinder that you've been making decisions out of, whether that's your feelings, it's yourself. Might be some people around you. Might be Instagram, might be your money, whatever it is, and it's taken Jesus' place. Is there something that's distracted you from Jesus? Maybe you're Netflixing and binging for hours on end, and you know God's just asked you to come into His presence, to read His word. You refuse to get up 30 minutes early just to be with Him. Maybe there's some things that you're involved in, and you know they're dishonoring Jesus. And I think we all can say, whoa, there's something. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So this isn't a time of condemnation or guilt. It's a time to reconcile with the Lord and to turn our hearts back to Him. So we want to encourage you. Our prayer team is going to come up front. And they're going to be here. If you say, I don't even know how to pray a prayer of repentance, we got you. We're going to help teach you how to do that. But we have to take a step. So our altar is going to be open for prayer. Dads, could you help lead us, lead our family in repentance? Moms, can we help lead our children in repentance? Husbands and wives, can we come together? Can we find a way right now in the amongst family, community, to repent and turn our hearts back to the Lord? Come on, let's pray together.
God, would you just prepare our hearts? Humble us. Some of us need to make an altar at our seat. We need to lay down at the altar up here across the state of Tennessee. We need to come forward for prayer with a prayer team. God, do not let us leave the same. I just bind the lie of the enemy of guilt and shame and condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So God, right now, as we're in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to worship. But we need to repent as families, as men of God, as women of God, as students. God, whatever you have to say, we will obey. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Let's repent and let's respond as God calls us to. So hey, I want to put it to you this way. As Rach and I prayed for this week, I just had this just a kind of a revelation of the Lord, and just we want to communicate it to you this way. As we lead into this last part about our hands, the commissioning, I want you to just put your head here. What would you do if you were there? When Jesus was on trial, He's in front of you, He's beaten, He's bloody, His beard's been ripped out. They've mocked Him. They've beat a crown of thorns down on His head. They put a purple robe and mocked Him and jeered Him, called the King of the Jews. Then they ripped that robe back off. He's weak, can barely stand, on trial in front of you. I wonder what we would do if we were there.
When Pilate says to the crowd, what should I do with Jesus? You hear this angry guy in the back shout out, crucify Him. And shock goes through your body because you know what crucifixion looks like. You know what it does to a body. You're in horror. And you remember, gosh, I laid my shirt down for Him. My wife, my daughter, put palm branches down. We said we were going to follow Him, that He was our Messiah.
But now He's in front of you, beaten and bloody. What would you do? The voices are picking up. More people are chanting, crucify Him! Crucify Him! You look over to the right, you see Jesus up there. Maybe you see some stairs. You see a way where you can get to Jesus. You see Him, and then you lock eyes with Jesus, and He's looking out in disbelief over the crowd. Tears start to fill His eyes. I mean, these are the same people.
He loved them. He had healed them. He had wept with them. He had eaten with them. And now they're shouting at Him, crucify Him. Crucify Him. Crucify Him.
What would you do? What would we do? Would we stand with Him? Would we plead His case? where we throw ourselves over and say, no, do you guys not remember who he is and what he's done? And maybe you don't have an aggressive personality. Maybe like, I don't know what I stand, what would I do? But in retrospect, after you know who Jesus is and what he's done, would we stand for him? I bet a lot of us in our heart right now say, yes, I would stand. I would stand. Well, why don't we stand now? Jesus had to die that day so that we could stand for him now. Will you stand for Jesus? Oh, Zach, are you sure that's what Jesus wants me to do? Well, in Acts 1:8, it says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus says about us. In this moment, as people are already standing, could we worship him and ask him for a boldness? Could we ask him that we would be who he's made us to be and just say, God, right now, equip me to win my world. Whatever you have to say, I will obey. God, we come before you right now. And as we sing this song, send me, that out of Isaiah 6, I pray that it would be our banner, our anthem, our reality, that you would send us. Holy Spirit, please, the world is in desperate need. Your kids are far from you. Send us. God, we didn't get the opportunity to stand for you that day, but we will stand for you this day because you're a God that deserves it. Here we are, Lord. Send us.